Thank you. All right, that's first Christmas, or first church day of the new year, and I want you to be in fervent prayer. Some people are saying the 6th is going to be a bad day. A lot of bad stuff. And it very well may. And I just encourage you to be a little careful. Just be aware of it. But some people are saying really bad stuff, and others are saying nothing. So I don't know what's going to happen. But we need to be in prayer, because we may want a certain man to be the president, but God is in control. And God has an idea, has a plan, and it involves America, it involves Israel, it involves the church. And so we need to just take ourselves into his plan and put there for our faith and the rest that God is in control. So let's begin with the word of prayer and get ready for the morning to worship together.
I think you're on mute still.
Okay, let's see if I'm on mute. Now, my wife wants me on mute all the time.
It's going to be beat up all morning.
All right, let's see. Oh, yeah, very good. Very good. Well, I think God heard me getting this ready. So, by the way, there's a handout if you didn't get one. So, yeah, the first Ephesians. And so everybody need maybe need one, maybe you don't. But Kit worked really well for me last night on this at 8, and we're getting ready for the next Sunday already to how we're going to put it together. And so let's get ready for our worship together by word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for your word, and that we can study it and learn it and then apply it in our lives. Thank you this morning, Father, and we pray for those in our assembly who are in a testing time. For an example, Brian Cooper, his mother went home yesterday. How what a wonderful day that is for their mother, and for meeting you in heaven face to face. And then, Heavenly Father, we have just people in our assembly that need to be our prayers. And so we bear all these things to you. And now, Father, we pray you just this morning will be a glorifying day of you and for your Son. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, let's... I know there's not many, but Judith and I were talking today about Bible churches. And Bible churches are not known for their music or for really anything except the study of the Word of God. And now some of them are not into that realm anymore. In fact, some are more into singing and acting all the old things and leaving out the study of the Word of God. Somewhere there ought to be a balance of doing both the worship and the song and study and worship toward the Lord. But so it's on page
37, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
All right. A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And whatever happens in this country, he is still in powerful. All right, what page?
37.
Okay.
Hymn number
37. So let's stand and sing together. And you're going to have to sing out now. If I have to, you're in trouble.
Who chose this song?
It had to be.
Yeah. except this is a hard one to sing a cappella.
Turn it up a little bit, just a little bit. Turn it up there. Yeah. Okay, let's start all over again and we'll be in together. All right. Fortress is our God, a bulwark ever failing. Thank you. We're going to have to work on our singing. it was a great song. Been better. All right.
It's a Martin Luther song.
It is Lutheran.
If you're not a Lutheran, you just don't get it.
Well, no. Phil has the right idea. It isn't that we don't have that. We need to have a good hand in our big cup.
Beer bang
going in. And then we'd be, our mighty fortress is our God. See? So next time we'll get Phil and I to pass those out if we've seen this song again. Okay, let's talk about, first of all, some needs of prayer. And first of all, Brian, our friend, our loyal worker here, Brian Cooper's mother, went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And we need to be in prayer for the family. They know where he is. But it's still, when your parents, someone you love, does go home, it hurts. But not, we sorrow, but not as the world does. We do sorrow, but not with the pad at this, at the attitude that this is the end. What we're doing is looking at, we'll be back with them forever and ever. So that's very powerful. And then we got Brian Sinclair, and I understand now that Jennifer has attained the...
positive, but she doesn't. Her symptoms are very mild, and she's home, but she's home alone.
Okay.
They gave Brian in the hospital yesterday about 5 o'clock, remdesivir.
Yeah.
And he slept well. And today they're going to try and reduce his oxygen that they are giving him.
Yeah.
He's not on a ventilator. He's just got oxygen, and try and bring it down so he has no fever right now.
Good. No, very good.
But Jennifer's still alone, and I think she's doing all right. It's just the idea she can't go there.
Yeah.
And the doctors are calling in the afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, let's be in prayer, first of all, for Brian Sinclair, and that God will touch his body, bring him into full recovery. And then we need to be in prayer for Jennifer, and that she doesn't really get it. She does have it.
She tested positive.
All right, she's positive. She didn't want to be positive. You don't want to be positive to her about.
She has no sense of smell.
All right. We'll be in prayer for Jennifer. And so let's see, is there any other prayer requests that we have? Yes?
Yeah, safe travels for Debbie. She's flying to and from Montgomery this week.
This week?
Yeah.
All right, let's be in prayer. How long will she stay there?
Well, she's leaving, getting on the plane in an hour, and she'll be back Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, we miss you. Glad your husband's here. very good. Well, we'll be in prayer to travel. Any other prayer requests that we might have going? Okay. Now, we begin the year finance. Now, we all know that we have been cut into our finances, one just by the fact that not many people are coming, and many of those that are coming are not doing anything about giving. And I want you to remember, please remember, there's several things we need to keep in support. First of all, this room, and I'm thankful for this room and for our sound system, and for the things that we're doing as far as this church is concerned. So let's please be thoughtful in regard to the need of the finances. Now, it's a small church anyway, but now it's even smaller. But we still have small things that we need to be done. One, for example, is the cleaning of the church. This is not a big deal. It doesn't take that long of a time. But we have just 2 months already. This month and next month are the only two that are on there. So think about when you'd be able to come in and help as far as the getting the church cleaned up. And then secondly, the donuts. I'm not sure why that's so important in church, but it's important. So we got to have somebody. I know we have 3 of those done this month, and then next month is Chris Degg, and then the next month. But after that, we're not going to have any donuts. So we need to have the another fill up of that time frame. All right, any other requests or anything? Yes?
Well, it's just a praise report. Betsy told me that Julie Cooper called and said her mom believed in Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's right. People, how about that? Think about that.
Wow.
Your mother is, you know, yes. She's not young anymore. And
this is
believes in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, she's gone through a battle to get there because of her former religion. So that is just really wonderful. And I just think that's one of the best things a child could get, is that. The only thing I think may be a little better was my mother told me my gospel, and I believed in Christ sitting on her lap, and very thankful for that. But let's be so thankful for Julie in regard to her mother face to face with the Lord. And I don't know if she, and she...
She's Buddhist.
She was.
Yeah, she was. Buddhist. Okay. So... Do what?
Somewhere around
80. 80, all right.
Somewhere.
Well, be careful. That's a good age. Isn't that right, Mike?
Amen.
So, amen.
We're good, brother.
Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and get ready for our study in the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we understand the battle. For a long time in our lives, in our churches, we're looking at one church started off so powerful, ended up so pitifully void of the love of Christ. So we need to learn these things, Heavenly Father, and apply them in our own lives, that we, Heavenly Father, can fulfill our purpose for why you leave us here. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, what we're doing this morning, in May, we had to kind of, I was pulled down from speaking. So we haven't been in the study of Ephesians since the end of May. And so now we're back into Ephesians. So what we're going to do today is just gather in a little bit regarding where we are, so that we'll come in next Sunday with a new week, a new study of from where we were last week year in May. But I want to start off, what a contrast between two Ephesians. The first is written... The Epistle of Ephesians. What a spiritual, rich group of believers at that time. And that's what we're studying. But on the second, that is the one spoken by Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 2, they left their first love. To give you some idea of the sickness of the second Ephesians. This is the one, the only one of the seven churches that Jesus declared that He would come and remove their lampstand. Okay. We people do not want our lamp to be removed. So let's learn from this book and apply it in our lives as we grow. Paul wrote this great letter to Ephesus from his first imprisonment in Rome in 60 A.D. This letter is not so much about salvation, but was about living your life on earth to glorify Christ. Paul does not even mention our spiritual freedom in Christ as he did in Galatians, which is the first book that he wrote. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, Paul emphasized that now that we are Christians, we are not to live our lives as Jews, or even as a Jewish saint under the Mosaic law. Now this caused many Jews to have a problem with Paul and even with Christianity. And if you know anything about Paul's journeys and speaking, he would be often be harassed by a Jewish coming in to trying to change what he was doing. So this still remains today. Today there are two dramatic differences way toward looking at the Jews. First, replacement theology, which is where the church, in its theology, the church replaces Israel. But people, you have to know that God had made a covenant with Israel and has promised Israel the promised land. So they're not nearly through and under God's plan. But people today came up with replacement theology. Now, if the church replaces Israel, then God is no longer faithful. And people, we cannot even be confident that we will be secured in eternal life if God is like that. Because he made promises to Israel that have not been fulfilled yet. And if he doesn't fulfill those, there's no guarantee that he's going to be faithful to us. So it is so much of our faith to believe the where the church is today and where Israel's picked up to be. Now another is that the Jews are essential only when they believed in the law and circumcision for salvation. Neither of these are important to being a Christian. Jesus, or the Jews today, are as important to the same manner as a Gentile, only in need of salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. The Mosaic Law is no longer binding on anyone in the church age, and no one is to be criticized if not circumcised. In fact, that's a big issue right now. A lot of people are trying to get away from being circumcising a baby to just kind of cut off the Jews. But that's just where we are. Now, but we are all saved, Jew and Gentile, saved by the same Jewish Savior, Christ, Jesus the Christ. And, of course, there is no place for any rejection of any race in their standings before Jesus Christ. In this new age of the church, all believers were regarded as one, living as one. As Paul brings out in the chapter 2, what we'll be studying, chapter 2, that in the church we are made into one group. Jewish believers and Christian Jewish believers and Gentile believers, one. There is no male or female, Jews or Gentiles. We are all one the same in Christ. That Jesus made us all into one new man. We'll be studying that in chapter 2. Thus establishing peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. Peace between them. In church history, if you know a church history, there was a time when Christians really very pressed toward the Jews, and Jews were very hostile toward the Christian, and that's very difficult. So we have to get back to the truth of understanding the Word of God. As you read through the whole Bible, you realize that the Old Testament and the New are built of the same cornerstone. We read the prophets and the teachers throughout the Old Testament, all are pointing to the glory of the same one God. Now, we continue growing in our study of Ephesians. As we study through this great epistle, please note carefully that this is from God the Holy Spirit for the benefit of members in the church, born-again believers. No man or woman speaks for God. Please remember that. There are various people claiming to do that today, and that's a shame. Let us remain in His Word. As we study through His book, we have the sufficiency from the Word of God for all of the needs in our lives. Now, it has been several months since we have, and I was going this with my wife, I said, been back for a little while. She said, a little while. I said, okay, so I'll be a little more honest. It's been several months since we have been in our study of Ephesians. So let's go back in our study of the epistle to just familiarize ourselves where we are when we're back into it. Chapters 1 through 3 emphasizes the wealth that we have in Christ and who we are in Christ. Then it changes in chapters 4 through 6. We have and deal with our lives in accordance to our wealth in Christ. That we are according to our spiritual wealth and the battle that we live in the battle and the help of the Holy Spirit. So first, we learn who we are in Christ. And then we learn how we're to live in Christ. Who we are in Christ, how to live in Christ. The entire epistle is about Jesus Christ. In the short 6 chapters for the book of Ephesians, speaks of in Christ some 35 times. Just 6 chapters. This is more than in any other New Testament book. It is important, therefore, no wonder that they had such a love for Jesus Christ as they started off. But it didn't take very long. They lost that love because so dramatic is the Jesus Christ is analyzing this in chapter 2 of Revelation. This is really difficult that we were so close with God and it didn't take that long. Didn't take that long that we come back into where we're in dead without Jesus Christ. Now, he will speak of the declaration of every believer as in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 1. We are remembered, or redeemed, we are redeemed in Him. Chapter 1, verse 4. We are given hope in Him. Chapter 1, verse 12. We are seated with Him. In chapter 2, verse 6. Created in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10. Brought nearby His brought nearby His blood. Chapter 2, verse 13. Growing in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 21. Given access through faith in Him. Chapter 1.
I do. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Herman is relaxing comfortably in the back, and we seem to be all right. That's the old day's problems, not the new day problems, at least. So I think we're health-wise, we're advancing nonetheless. I just got a little overheated, and I'm going to finish reading this for you. It is available. PDF has a, will be posted if it's not already posted on our website. And we're picking it up at the top of page 4, is about where we stopped off. So, this could be one of the best classes I ever did. let's start with a word of prayer again, if we may interrupt our study. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Herman, and we thank you for his warrior spirit, and pray that your spirit would continue to work and heal him and be with him as he returns slowly to the pulpit. We thank you, Heavenly Father, each and every time you give us the blessing of your spirit working through him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for his foresight to write down those marvelous words, and pray that you would give me clear diction as I read them to our flock today. And we pray you continue to heal him and work in us, that we may set aside these issues in the world around us and look to your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray, sir. Amen. So, as we were carrying on here in the study of this book, it's most interesting that there are no imperatives in all of chapters 1 through 3. These chapters are not about how you should live, but is saturated with who you are in Christ. Now, in chapters 4 through 6, there are some 35 imperatives. The first three chapters are devoted to who you are in Christ, while chapters 4 through 6 are occupied with your daily lives here on earth. This epistle is a beautiful proclamation of what God has done for His Son. We are redeemed by Christ, and the Father has chosen us, and then the Holy Spirit has sealed us. Chapter 1 proclaims special blessings from God. Chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Spirit. The book begins emphasizing the work of the Trinity in our salvation. Grace and peace are from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Then Paul starts on blessing to us with every spiritual blessing from Jesus Christ. Then he teaches us what we are blessed with: redemption through his blood and forgiveness according to the richness of his grace. Then Paul prays for believers. Please learn about prayer in this Paul's prayer for others. Note his prayer on our being is to strengthen us with power through his Spirit and the authority of God in the angelic conflict. So I think we can see all the doctrines being presented in chapter 1. Chapters 2 through 3, start reading here. This is on the church, that is, Gentiles and Jews. Paul draws attention to the position individually in 2, 1 through 10. And then in 2, 11 through 3, 13, he makes aware of our position corporately. Then Paul goes into prayer once again, this time for the complete church in 3, 14 through 21. Chapter 4 is about unity in the church, and he begins teaching on the work of the church. There's something no believer should ever forget: their unity with all other believers. Explanation of that unity is in chapter 4, 1 through 3, followed by explanation of God's work in this unity in 4, 3 through 6. There is the means and purpose of the unity from God in 4, 7 through 16. Chapters 5 through 6 is the life of every believer. First, Paul covers the life of the believer in the divine establishments, life of the believer according to marriage and home of the believer, all centers around our lives in Christ and in our relationships with one another. Then, followed by the believer in full armor of God in the battle. Now, we have just begun on chapter 1, being introduced in our study of this great chapter of the work of the Trinity. Introductions to Ephesians here, the Trinity at work. In the plan in the church age, we have the comfort of the faithfulness of Christ. People, this is the great issue in every person who has believed in Jesus Christ. Faithful of Christ in your daily lives. We have seen in John 17 how important God the Father is to God, and how His plan and everything that Jesus Christ does in His own life. In Christ, first the place of God, then the place of Jesus Christ. Your position in Christ. Here's the great issue for everyone elected in Christ. In the following study, we saw the importance of predestination, and in the next seven studies, the doctrine of predestination, understanding predestination from understanding God, understanding predestination biblically, predestination and the sovereignty of God, predestination and divine decrees. Divine decrees and predestination continued, and in love, He predestined us. The sovereignty of God and free will of angels and man. Few people who study the book of Ephesians ever see just how important the angelic conflict is to and the angelic activity of God's plan. Sin is so important to the history of man, starting with sin from Adam, and we must be aware of sin in our lives and in the plan of God. Free will and the first sin. The results of the first sin. We studied New Year's night of cause and effect. Here we see it again. The cause and effect of sin. Sin separates from God. Sin separates us from God every time we sin. A mental attitude sin or a sin of tongues or overt sin. It is very important that we make recovery from sin, and it's our faith back to God, the Holy Spirit. And it's through our faith back to God, the Holy Spirit. In love, He predestined us. The importance of the love of God in so many different ways. Love and predestination go together. We are predestined from or by His love. God's gift of adoption. This is so important for every believer to understand and be aware of our condition in adoption by God. It is difficult for most people to grasp what it means to be adopted by God. Most people incorrectly think this refers to our being adopted as unbelievers into the family of God. But this is incorrect as per revealed by Paul. The simple way to grasp what Paul is saying is from the Roman culture, where when a true son reached the point that where that child becomes an adult, with all the blessings and responsibilities as an adult in that family of the Roman culture. This is how we are viewed to God in everyone in the church age. The kindness of God. The first thing we need to know about the kindness of God is the question, are you benefited by His kindness? Not everyone benefits from the kindness of God. God satisfied our needs, sending His Son to the cross bearing the judgment of our sins. But the problem is not everyone receives the gift of perfect righteousness, because not everyone believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. Therefore, they will receive the judgment for rejecting the kindness of God's gift at their rejecting of salvation. While every member of the human race is loved by God, not everyone benefits from His love, because not everyone believes in Jesus as their Savior. This is declared in Romans 2:24. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But as we see in verse 5, not everyone is benefited by the kindness of God. Romans 2:5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, this is why so many miss out on the kindness from God, stubbornness and unrepentant heart. You are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. This means that many people including Christians, do not want to be kind in life except to poor, helpless animals or to a very old person who needs help. They have this thought that kindness means weakness. But people, kindness is not weakness, but an indication of inner strength. Kindness is a thought and action in order to fulfill a purpose or a desired goal. But of God, this is His pleasant disposition and loving care for all members of the human race who are completely lost except by our receiving His kindness. And dear people, to sit down and meditate on the kindness of God, where it is referred to some 136 times in Psalm 136. Sonship in Christ. So important and so comforting is that the sonship of Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel, which reveals to us our relationship with Christ. Secondly, the proof or seal of sonship is by giving of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Third, and important in our daily lives, by our prayers to God the Father. We have the privilege of addressing Him as our Heavenly Father because we have been adopted into His family, into His Son, and share the sonship of Jesus Christ. Coming spiritually alive is always by grace. Grace is one of the most important and gracious words in our vocabulary and is used so lightly as to understand the all importance of every gift we receive from God. Grace is used some 13 times, making sure we understand the only way of relationship with God is by grace through faith. The great problem with this word grace is the true meaning of this word. So many preachers, theologians, and teachers have different uses of the word grace. We have seen that these words like grace, faith, and love have many different uses. It's so amazing how people use the word grace in different ways. Many like to refer to grace as the word works and the word works for the word grace. The point here is that so many who say that it is by grace that God saves us if we do some work. Many like to say that it is by grace when you use some system of works like confession or repentance or saying you're sorry of sins in your life. But as long as these people use one of the systems of works, then God does not forgive and does not restore us back to the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have moved but just five verses in Ephesians 1. And look at all the marvelous things God has done for you, to you, and for you. One, He has sent us apostles to give us the infallible, divinely inspired Word of God. In verse 1. Two, every believer in Jesus Christ is recognized as a saint. That is, we are recognized by God as set apart for His glory. And while it is true that not many look like saints or live like saints, before God, we are each one a saint, in verse 1. Number 3, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is put in Christ. This is your eternal position. Positional truth forever. 4, we are each one given grace and peace by God our Father. Whether or not you are benefited by this grace and peace is up to you and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. But He has given us grace and peace. Every believer is given every spiritual blessing in Christ. Quit comparing yourself to others and take advantage of the advantages God has graciously given to you. Once you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Father elects you or chooses you to be in His Son. We are not chosen or elected to believe in Christ, but once we do believe in Christ, God elects us to be in Christ. 7. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ will be presented to God the Father by Jesus Christ as holy and blameless, regardless of how you may live your life as a believer. Number 8, in His divine love, He predestined everyone who believes in Jesus as Savior, verse 5. We are not predestined to believe in Jesus Christ, but once we make that decision to believe in Jesus Christ, God the Father predestines us. Number 9, at the moment anyone believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, he is adopted as an adult son through Jesus Christ, in verse 5. And number 10, now the 10th blessing we have in just the first 5 verses of Ephesians chapter 1 is that we share the sonship of Jesus Christ, in verse 5. It took all the previous lessons in Ephesians for Herman to get to verse 5. And it's going to be my prayer that Herman lives to finish the book of Ephesians, because that's going to keep him alive another 3 or 4 years easy, right? Yeah. Any questions on what we've read through today? I was really struck as I read through Herman's notes at how many of those things we touched on in our study of Timothy this morning. We talked about that grace and peace. We talked about being in Christ. We talked about God's plan for us. So many of those things that we see in Ephesians, we see in Paul's final words to Timothy to remind him of all the riches that God has given us through the work of His Son, to bring us into His plan and to seal us, and that was in the Ephesians, in the Timothy story study also, to seal us in Christ through the work of God the Holy Spirit. That cycle of faith and grace is so magnificent, we can't help but always touch on it, no matter who's teaching, if they're teaching in truth, no matter what book they're teaching from. If they're looking, exegeting and looking at the truth of the Word of God, these magnificent concepts come through each and every time. And it's because we are permeated, our whole life is permeated with God's grace. And His plan is always because of His love and through the glorification of His Son, who deserves all glory. Let's close with a word of prayer. And see, you go through those notes a lot faster if you don't stop and pontificate, Herman. Sorry, I went through. I'm trying to read slow too. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how gracious is Your plan? How wonderful You are to teach us again and again through so many authors, through so many situations, so through so many churches in the ancient world, all the way through the churches that has led up to this very day. Heavenly Father, Your plan is eternal. Your plan is gracious. Your plan is grounded in Your Son and energized and powered by Your Spirit. How magnificent it is that we are elected and chosen because of our simple faith, because we've been put in Your Son and He was elected and chosen. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for these gracious blessings. We thank You for Herman having the recovery from this morning's incident. We pray You continue to heal him in each and every way. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would bless us through his words, and whether I read them or he reads them, and that these things that we saw this morning will be in our soul and urge us to return next Sunday as we continue this study of Ephesians. We ask all these things in Christ's name and to His glory. Amen. Wednesday night? Wednesday night, yes. Kit will be here Wednesday night teaching. Yes. And I'll have the early class next Sunday, and Herman's going to give it another run next Sunday. If not, there's going to be somebody here teaching, just like he taught us, right? All right, thank you very much. Have a wonderful new year, and we'll see you Wednesday night with Kit. Bye-bye. Yes, sir.
Red, large enough for you?
Yeah. Definitely got the print going.
Yeah, it could have only been 5 pages, really.